This is New England Public Radio. While parts of the country are seeing surges in COVID-19, cases are down in Massachusetts, but not gone. With the governor's reopening plan underway, early survivors of the virus are hoping their experience will remind others to be cautious. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown reports.
In early March, Naomi London of Northampton, Massachusetts, started to get severe stomach issues and fatigue.
But at the time, I thought I just had the flu or I ate something bad.
When she was too weak to even feed her dog, she went to the hospital, but they sent her home with antibiotics. They didn't have enough COVID-19 tests to give her one.
I was told I didn't meet the criteria.
A few days later, feeling much worse and dehydrated, she went back to the ER at Cooley Dickinson Hospital. And this time, she tested positive for the coronavirus. At 71, London was a few years into retirement. She'd spent her career as a pediatrician, including several stints overseas doing humanitarian work.
I worked during a dengue outbreak and a measles epidemic, and I never got sick. And I had to come home to get COVID.
She doesn't know how she caught the virus. She'd been out on errands before social distancing was the norm. But the day she was admitted to the hospital, that question was not her top concern. Her breathing was.
The ICU doc showed me an x-ray. And I looked at it and said, "This is the worst x-ray I've ever seen in my life." And he said, "Yeah, it's yours. I think we need to intubate you."
She was on a ventilator for 8 days. Afterwards, coming down from the sedation, she remembers a medley of songs looping over and over in her head.
I kept hearing the Steve Goodman song, City of New Orleans.
Then came a John Denver tune, and finally, the Jewish Mourner's Kaddish. It took about 3 days to feel lucid again and to take full breaths on her own.
From there on, I actually made, really rapid progress every day.
At about the same time, Dwayne Long, a 49-year-old software analyst from Beckett, got a bad cough.
Chest discomfort.
The headache.
And a terrible headache.
His wife, Paula, drove him to Berkshire Medical Center for a COVID-19 test. While they waited at home for the results, he started having serious breathing problems. Paula remembers him sitting in his recliner all night, and by morning...
It was extremely scary. He was slightly blue-tinged. He's like, we got to do something. We got to go in.
Dwayne went to the hospital by ambulance and didn't see his wife for another 5 weeks. At first, doctors gave him oxygen through a face mask. He begged them not to put him on a ventilator.
Dying from suffocation has always been my biggest fear. So the thought of them connecting me to a machine to do it that can power be turned off terrified me.
But when he got sick enough, Paula, talking to doctors on FaceTime, gave permission to intubate him.
I just remember telling him, "No, you're going to fight it. You'll survive. You're going to work through it."
It was touch and go for 21 days, on and off the ventilator, including a bout of pneumonia. Then he experienced what's called an ICU delusion. He didn't know what was real and what wasn't. He occasionally saw the animated polar bears from Coca-Cola commercials dancing on his bed.
The way they explained it was your brain requires input. If it doesn't get input, it makes up its own. And I was sitting in a dark room by myself with the door closed. So I created my own world. And unfortunately, it wasn't a happy place.
When he was finally ready to leave the ICU, he vaguely remembers the nurses coming into his room.
Like a flurry of stormtroopers unplugging me from the wall.
Let's give it to Mr. Long.
And then wheeling him down the hallway, lined with cheering staff, recorded here by the hospital.
They were actually more emotional than I was, but that was because, I was zoned. They had good meds.
It was the best, I think one of our best days since, Bridgie was born. It felt so great.
By that time, Paula and their teenage daughter had also tested positive for the coronavirus, with only mild symptoms. Dwayne has diabetes and an autoimmune disease, which could explain why his version was so much worse. But doctors aren't always sure why the virus hits people differently.
Well, my name is Renee Manley. I'm actually a disabled vet.
Manley, who's 52, has been suffering from COVID-19 symptoms for more than 3 months. When she talked to me on Zoom from her Springfield home, her face was in the dark, the curtains drawn.
The light really bothers my eyes. It's part of the virus. but I'm going to try to open the blind.
Unlike Dwayne Long and Naomi London, Manley's symptoms developed slowly. In March, she got a sore throat, a couple weeks after volunteering at the soldiers' home in Holyoke. Then she lost her sense of taste, though it took her a while to notice.
I was throwing food out because I thought it was bad, because I couldn't taste it.
Gradually, she developed aches and pains, severe stomach problems, body chills.
And it's like a teeth chattering type of chill, like you're literally freezing.
But when she went to the emergency room, doctors told her she wasn't sick enough for a COVID-19 test. Over the next few weeks, says she got better and worse, she went back to the ER three times. One doctor told her, based on the symptoms, there was no doubt she had the coronavirus. But she still wasn't tested, nor admitted to the hospital.
So I remember driving home, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I said, you know, I'm in this by myself, literally.
Manley lives alone, and when breathing got difficult, she monitored her oxygen levels with an over-the-counter oximeter on her finger. She knew a healthy level was around 95%.
You know, I had those that one week where they were really, you know, in the 80s, in the low 80s.
In the low 80s, and you didn't go to the hospital.
I wrote it out.
She still gets headaches and fatigue. Her heart sometimes races. Her nights alternate between chills and sweats. But without life-threatening symptoms, she says many doctors have been dismissive, like the on-call physician at her primary care practice early one morning.
He said, well, there's nothing wrong with you and there's nothing I can do. So take a couple of Tylenol. And then he hung up.
Manley is not counted among the official COVID-19 cases for Massachusetts. By the time she was tested, her results were negative. She thinks either the active virus had left her system or the test was wrong. So she still keeps far away from others and hasn't been with her adult son, who lives in Greenfield, since March. She often looks out her window in Springfield's 16 acres neighborhood to see people having backyard parties with no masks.
I'm really stunned and shocked that people are still not taking this seriously. You know, if they could see what I was going through, they would wear two masks.
Just as the illness varies greatly case by case, so does recovery. When Dwayne Long returned from the hospital, he was so wiped out, he needed a walker to get around the house.
The bathroom's 20 feet away, and that was like running a marathon.
6 weeks later, he still coughs, but he could recently take a walking tour around the mansions of Newport, Rhode Island. What's most frustrating is what the virus has done to his memory and mental sharpness. He often can't find words.
Can't get it again because you already had it.
Immunity.
You're immune.
But he can still ask the big existential questions.
Why am I here? If all those people that were sick, as sick or less sick than I was, they didn't make it. So why am I still here? You know, greater power questions.
Naomi London, the retired pediatrician, considers herself lucky, too. It took her more than a month to rebuild muscle strength, but now she's 95% back to normal, able to walk her dog and get groceries.
I think the last thing to come back has been my concentration. I'm just sort of starting to, you know, read for more than like 5 minutes at a time.
She'd like to know if she has immunity, but just in case, she never goes out without a mask. She donates her blood plasma as treatment for other COVID patients, and she's had some insights about life.
That it's unpredictable and fleeting, and if you're going to mend fences with people, now's the time to do it.
20 years ago, London had a falling out with a friend. After she recovered from COVID, she reached out, and now they're back in touch. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.